questions. Ah, such sweet agony. To not know things which we desire deeply to be privy of. The Big Bang. What happens after you die? Extraterrestrial life. All these questions and more will not in any way be answered here. But I got another guest, and we're going to have a conversation about them and life and what have you. So, welcome, mystery guest.
Hi. Do I intro myself at this point?
You can if you want. So it's called the Jovan Secret Podcast because the individual who I interview, their identity is a secret. But, of course, there's so many people with the same first name in the world that what are the odds that some random audience member in Utah is going to know you? So you can always drop your first name if you want.
You know, Elliot's here.
Here we go. We got Elliot.
Let's dig into it.
Let's go. Okay, so if you're ready, I'll just throw the first question at you.
Sounds good.
So the first question of the day is, how was your day? Or how has your day been?
My day's been solid. I'm supposed to go to a family dinner later, and I was just setting up for the podcast beforehand.
Great.
So we're feeling good. We're loose. We're happy. Nice. It's a lazy Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. It's beautiful.
We're all set
I love
to
lazy
go.
Sundays. Yeah. Awesome. Next question I got for you here is, what's the earliest memory that you can recall?
Ooh.
Yeah.
It would probably be, like, I have a vague memory, and this may just because I have, like, a home video of it.
It helps, but it's still real. It's not, like,
you know,
a false
maybe
memory.
It's like that, you know when you see something and you, like,
pretend that
yeah,
you thought
exactly,
it.
Like, it
thought
becomes
of it,
your
really
memory
because
you
yeah.
just, you've seen it, so you want that to be you.
Yeah.
Like, my second birthday, I can remember, like, sticking up my hand and going 3.
Nice.
Like, I'm turning 3, and then my family friend was like, no, Elliot, you're going for 2.
Wow.
And another key milestone would be New Year's for 1999.
Oh,
which
yeah.
would still be,
yeah.
like, that's not my first memory, but that's my first memory of counting the year.
Oh,
like,
nice.
I don't remember being cognizant of, like, oh, yeah, it's 97, let's go,
yeah.
before then. So that's when, like, you know, 1999, 2000...
That's
the
big
the
one.
Start of Elliot.
You
like,
and your family were in the bunker,
yeah.
and everyone's crying
over each
other.
Contextualizing and be like, oh yeah, the 99s.
The
what
big
a great
change.
Year.
Yeah,
yeah
exactly. Nice.
Before that, it was all just kind of a blur.
Awesome. Well, yeah, that's a great answer. That's good. The next question I got for you here, and you don't have to answer any of these, by the way. They're all optional. You can say
okay.
pass whenever you want. Do you remember your first crush?
First crush? Yeah. Yeah, I'd say it was like... Oh, it would have just been some,
like
random
a
girl
or something.
In grade 3.
Oh, okay,
and
yeah,
I thought
here.
She was just a total cutie.
Nice.
Didn't really have any context of where that would go.
Yeah.
You know, the long hair.
It's just a feeling.
The brunette.
Great.
Got it going.
There you go, yeah, you gotta think.
I'd really love to hold her hand.
Awesome, yeah. That's a good thought to have.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, I just want to push her or something. It's usually what guys think. They're like, I don't know why, I just want to, like, be physical. I just
we're gonna have, you know... Pull the ponytails, that sort of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
get the attention.
Yeah, do something. Yeah, it's weird that guys do that. It's probably just, yeah, a want to be physical. You're just like, I don't know why.
I mean,
I
you
like
just
you,
want
but...
their attention. I don't think at that point I really contextualized or understood
what was
those feelings
happening?
Were going
yeah.
to lead to. There was something brewing in there, stewing.
Yeah, it began.
Yeah. yeah.
That was the start of who you are now, the man that you've become.
Oh,
it all began.
What a journey.
yeah, since then. Okay, so that leads into the next question. How was your childhood? Any particular point or just in general?
Yeah, so I technically have a single mom.
Okay.
But my grandma was a big part of it.
Nice.
So, yeah. like, I consider myself to have a two-parent childhood.
Yeah.
But according to, like, you know, the demographics or whatever, I'd be checking off the single-parent household.
Yeah.
If I was categorizing myself like that. Yeah. But I had, like, a very positive child. So, like, my grandma was there all the time.
Yeah.
She's kind of, like, the traditional stay-at-home mom sort of figure.
Yeah,
while my mom went out and
there.
Worked. Yeah, exactly. So
yeah,
she's just
right.
around all the time. You know, there was
yeah.
always a family figure there
yeah,
for me.
Awesome.
Yeah, you know, home-cooked meals, all that jazz. I've got a brother
awesome.
And a sister.
Perfect,
that
yeah.
were triplets, so there was always, like, a lot of people.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, yeah,
oh
yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I always,
yeah.
always had, like, a very full house. And,
yeah.
like, if I went to school, there was always people there that I knew. Like,
yeah.
I always felt like, I never really felt alone.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, my mom's a teacher, so it was, like, very regular.
Oh, nice.
Where
same.
We felt supported. yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was,
awesome.
Sometimes I feel like even though I had a single parent childhood, technically. I feel like I had more traditional childhood than a lot of my friends. Like, I never went through a divorce.
That's true.
There was always someone at my house, like, keeping it clean, you know, slightly more traditional worldview, because they're in their 60s, 70s.
Yeah, while I'm growing up.
Yeah, exactly.
Situation. Yeah, that's great. I got a dumb question for you.
Okay.
Or at least a question that I already know the answer of, but just because I don't yet know, is there by chance a situation where you're a triplet that you and your brother are identical twins, and then it's a fraternal twin, your sister? There's got to be a chance that exists.
We are all fraternal, when I was a kid, I'd 100%, so I have a brother and a sister, and I would get confused with my brother. And I remember in kindergarten, we convinced the supply teacher that other.
Yeah,
jokes. But he had, like, dark brown hair. I had blonde hair when I was a kid. There's still something I'm salty about, that, like, my hair is darkened over time.
Changed.
Yeah.
Gotta start dyeing it manually.
Yeah. The real Elliot was always little Elliot.
Yeah.
And, like, also just, like, we're both guys. So there's a certain level of similarity there.
Just in general, genetically. Yeah.
But you can all tell that we're siblings, 100%.
Probably especially now. As soon as you're an adult, you grow
so now we, like, dress up more differently.
Yeah.
Like, before, it would be, like, my brother and I would have... We never had my mom dressed us up in identical clothing.
Okay. She was really big. She didn't try to prank people.
She was more like, everyone needs to be an individual person, like childhood development.
Right. Yeah.
We can't make them dependent.
Yeah.
Coming from that educational background.
Yeah, yeah.
On our birthdays, we would all get separate cakes. Because this is a celebration of you guys as individuals who happen to be born on the same day.
Yeah.
Rather than. Awesome. We'd get called the triplets by people outside of our family because they see us more as a unit.
Yeah,
she's like, I'm not having that in my household. Like, you guys aren't only going to talk to each other and be those, like, communicating through touch.
And speaking in your own language, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. True. She was like, we're nipping that in the bud.
Yeah. That's
definitely good. You guys can be close, but you also have to be independent, like, fully developed people.
Yeah, well, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, hey, good job on that.
Yeah.
That works. Next question I got for you here. I shouldn't even ask it because we kind of just got into it, but I was, what part of growing up comes to mind when you think about it? So probably being individuals and that aspect of being part of the
triplets. Yeah, definitely. And, like,
having the grandmother.
My brother was definitely more athletic. And my mom at first was like, everyone needs to, you know, try it at first. She was big into, like, you know, just do the intramural soccer for a bit.
Yeah.
But once... was clear that I wasn't that into it. She's like, you can go, like, take a cooking class or a science class. Like, go be you. My sister and my brother were also, like, I'd say they're more creative than me in, like, the traditional sense. Like, I enjoy role-playing games, but they were, like, into drawing, and they wound up going to an arts high school. Kind of, like, an alternative social justice school.
What is that?
So, Toronto District... public school has one uniform school called Ursula Franklin.
Okay.
And the specialty is technology and social justice.
What do they teach you? What is the social justice?
So the social justice aspect is just kind of like wound through all the education.
So it's like
our
Catholic
world
school.
Issues course.
Yeah.
That was just like current events essentially. It would be like we talked about sweatshops and like, you know, just developing countries in Africa. My final year in grade 12 for history, was the like question that they were trying to answer with our world history course was like, why are some countries rich and some countries poor?
Yeah.
Or, philosophy was a lot of like practical philosophy. Like much should you help people?
Yeah.
You know, that trade-off between, the individual like sacrificing themselves. Versus you have a certain obligation to humanity to do good stuff. Like, where's the cutoff point?
Yeah,
should I be in rags to give one more dollar to my neighbor who may not be doing so hot?
Yeah, true.
So there's just kind of like an overall lens that they build the curriculums through, or like bringing in like an awareness of like less fortunate people into the classroom. And then technology was, they're like always trying to do a lot of integrated stuff. So like for, you know, your capstone project, like you should make a PowerPoint or a video maybe some photography, like just try, have technology, you know, do a research project with the internet.
Yeah, just be forward. Mm-hmm. In
so it wasn't, it's not like an art school where you're taking, like, I have to take courses. The technology stream.
Yeah, true.
I have to take computer 5 in grade 12. It was more like they built up the curriculum with these, like, fundamental general concepts things. In
yeah.
mind.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's the same thing as Catholicism. Like, they did have a religion class.
Yeah, exactly.
But throughout all of the other classes, they interwove the general philosophy of, like, you know, like, we'll be in the middle of, like, math class, and the ambulance goes by, they go, okay, everybody pray, and then everybody has to stop and then pray when the ambulance goes by, and they're like, okay, back to work.
Yeah, the, probably the weirdest one was that they wanted us to do, like, self-directed learning. So every Wednesday, it was called the Wednesday program, and you'd be able to pick up to 4 sessions, and they'd be an alternative style of class. Okay. So it could be, like, I did Student Council, Settlers of Catan, and old movies. Okay, so, like, we watched a black and white film every afternoon. Nice. But you could also do, like, the environmental awareness. Or I did one on different perspectives on the, what's the air show? The military air show that happens.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I don't actually know the name. I've never been. But
people
yeah.
who were pro and people who were against it. And it was just, like, a 2-week, so 1-hour session for 2 Wednesdays, just talking about, like, why some people are into it and some people aren't.
That's so unique. That I've never heard of, like, any of this stuff before. This is wild.
Nice. This is, like, so it wasn't technically an alternative school, because it was still, like, they
part
they
of
had
the public
to,
system.
Because if you're an alternative school, you're able to, like, radically managed. Change the curriculum.
True. The world's 6,000 years old.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Okay, yeah. Or, like, you don't have to have kids in class the same amount of time.
Okay.
Versus a specialty school where, like, you still have to abide by the, like, educational minimums for, like, you still have to take the English credit.
Yeah.
And you can't change
English
the curriculum too much.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Nice. All right, well, going from there. So this one's philosophical. Now,
I'm into it.
I should maybe have rearranged it differently because they go from philosophical back to practical. But still, regardless, it's a fun one just to throw in there.
Love it.
Does everything happen for a reason? Or is it all random?
I definitely come from, like, a religious background.
Okay,
I'm Christian, so me, everything does happen for a reason.
Yeah.
I don't think it's always intelligible, though. And I don't think every little thing is laden with meaning. Like, you stub your toe.
Yeah.
I think there's, like, an overall direction to things. And there is an end point. But I don't think, like, you stub your toe before a job interview, that's a sign from the universe or the creator figure,
what have you.
Or that, like, my personal birth is, like, there's some path laid out for me.
Towards it,
but I do think there's, like, meaning in life
and
some,
there,
like,
there
ultimate truth you
point.
Should be working towards.
Yeah. Like, what I've heard from a lot of people that have that same philosophy is that there's specific chapters in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the points that are set. So it's like, stubbing your toe, that's completely inconsequential. And it could have gone one way or the other. That's completely random. But it's like meeting the one person that you married. It's like, that was always supposed to happen.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And then having the specific kid, like, maybe you have a child that, like, dies during birth, but then you have, like, another child.
Mm-hmm.
And then that one lives. And it's like, you were supposed to have that child.
Yeah,
a lot of people derive meaning that way.
I'm definitely, like, very deterministic.
Yeah.
So I think things are pretty clockwork. And that, like, there's a cause and effect. It's not just some universal randomness or, like, luck is just deciding things.
Yeah.
There's a certain level. You could call it fate. You could call it just, like, the machinery of the universe.
Yeah.
Moving people in a particular direction.
But that's great. Good answer. Next question I got for you here. Instead of asking what it is you do for work, I will instead ask, what's the wildest part of your job? And then through that, we can kind of find out what you do.
So the wildest part of my job is... Ooh, that's a hard one. Do you mean, like, crazy?
So it could either be crazy or weird.
Whatever direction I want to take it.
Yeah.
I think the wildest part of my job is, for me, that as a kid, I saw toys on TV, and I saw that was, like, a big part of my life, and now I'm trying to influence that in other people. So I work in market research for toys and entertainment in general, 'cause they do some, like, TV shows in the company as well. So now I'm seeing, like, you know, the little Elliot out there is always in the back of my head. I'm like, this...
What
this
would
is,
you want?
Yeah, well, this is the type of... Like, I'm helping shape content, because we don't, in the end, have ultimate creative control. We're supposed to be the voice of the consumer in the room.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of the things for me is that I loved the color yellow as a child. And I was like, why aren't there more yellow toys? Like, I love the yellow design on something, like a sweet yellow plane with flames on it.
Yeah.
And now I know, like, kids just hate that. Kids don't like the color yellow.
What?
I'm like, you're that's heartbreaking. Wild. You're making little Elliot so heartbroken right now.
Like, you know what?
Yeah.
Fuck the public. We're just
So for me, the wildest thing is that I can, like, very clearly see how someone who was in the position I was in back in the 90s would have directly impacted how I grew up.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome, yeah. And that is a cool insight, right? Because it's like, how many people actually even know that field or how it works,
right? Like, getting the curtain drawn back on how... It's like such a process for how those things are developed and how many small decisions can impact it.
Yeah.
One of my roommates, in a similar vein, in university did industrial design, and he got really tripped out by, like, the decision for that lamp off in the corner in this room right now that made it slightly curved, or a press button instead of a switch, like a switch of some sort.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of thought and effort that went into it.
Yeah.
Just having that insight is that trips me out the most. Is how I'm going to take this. What is the wildest part of your job?
How intentional something that seems so minimal is.
Or how a really major component just came down to a random decision one person made. It was like, no, we're not going to do version A. We're going to do version A or B because I vibe with that. And this is how I think it should be created.
Yeah, instead of it being demographic, it's just some guy. Yeah. Just, power is the trippiest thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's it is weird how much
the CEO, doesn't come down vice to president of the Asia region is like, I know this won't sell, so we're not going to do
it. We're going to do that one. Yeah. It's nuts. Yeah. That's nuts. All right. Next question I got for you here. What do you consider beautiful? Again, something interpretable.
Yeah.
Little kids
so
laughing.
I'm going to take this.
Paintings, trees.
I love things as they are, especially if they, like, make something in you. So the main thing I'm thinking of is, like, relationships and what people are beautiful. There's definitely, like, the conventional standard of beauty that I can relate to.
Yeah,
I think symmetry. That's more, like, hotness or surface beauty.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, the deep, you know, it makes you smile. It makes you think. It's someone that you could talk to on a rainy day 20 years from now.
Yeah.
I think that's real beauty that it, like, keeps you engaged over the long term, and you want to keep coming back to it.
Yeah. It's the meaning of life.
Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of people don't understand, especially as technology grows and we become more separate and isolated.
The latest TikTok. Let's just watch, you know, like half an hour of 1 minute
watch
videos.
Other people. Yeah, do the thing.
I'm never going to think about it again.
But yeah, it's because what was that quote from that guy? Alexander Supertramp, you know about him?
Oh, is he the one who...
In the early 1990s, he left...
Like, went to Alaska?
Yeah.
Yeah,
alone.
Yeah.
And then only once he was dying, he realized the meaning of life, or that the meaning of life is happiness shared with others.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's like when he's alone, dying from starvation because a poison berry wouldn't let him eat. It's nuts. And then, you know, like, because he was sending, like, letters to his sister that his sister was, like, hiding from his parents. And then, because it's like, he always had that connection. He just didn't realize that was the reason
until
why
he was all alone,
being driven.
Dying in Alaska.
Yeah, yeah. Where it's like, he had this drive, and it was for the meaning of life and to find happiness, and he was able to find it, but it was just in the vein that what he was actually doing was the opposite of what he wanted. Yeah. It's nuts, but human connection. It's a big thing, right? It's great. You'll
love
it.
Even, like, personal development to a certain extent, because there are some pretty, like, solitary people out there who are just like,
they can find great peace in solace with recognition.
You know, just watching nature.
Yeah.
Depending on how you view it, maybe that's interacting with someone else.
Yeah, yeah, sure. That's true. Yeah. So another question I got for you here, and this one's a little more simple, but how much money would you need to retire?
This is one of the things I stress out about. I'm not 100% committed to it, because I think I might wind up with someone who doesn't want a family. But I definitely think about the steps I need to take to have a family.
Yeah.
It's like, to
saving
have a family
for, like,
is so expensive.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, to want to, like, retire in a comfortable way.
Yeah.
Definitely, I read that to, like, properly save up for retirement and to have a house in the Toronto area or in like pay for childcare and all that, yeah, you need to be making $200,000 as a family unit. So your yeah total household income needs to be that much.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, in my career, you definitely can get paid pretty well if you start getting into, like, the executive branch of it.
Yeah,
because you can start, like, making decisions rather than making recommendations about what the decision should be.
Yeah, yeah.
Or getting more data-focused, like, becoming a cool computer programmer.
Yeah.
Hot right now.
Yeah.
So, like, the... Objectively, that 200,000 figure, you know, it was from some sort of economist telling me that. Yeah. It is a family unit, you know... Hopefully both of you are contributing to
yeah
it.
Yeah, it's not just you.
So
yeah,
I don't want to say it because I don't know how I'm going to get there. It seems like pretty far, but like $100,000 seems like the
But like starting at retirement. Because before then you're working. And
oh,
then
how much nice I need in retirement on a yearly basis?
When you start at retirement, would you say $100,000
a year? So $100,000 a year, if I'm working like long term, that should be like the career goal.
Ideal. Yeah.
Man, I'm comfortable with pretty little. As long as I'm with people.
Just a livable.
If I had a, like, food, shelter, and people who care about me, like, I'd be cool with 30K.
That'd
be fine.
Just a little, whatever.
But it's
it
the
takes
people you're around with, right? Like, if they want to travel all the time, I'd like to be able to participate in that with them if that's what they find value in.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of more like, I want to match the person I'm with or be able to provide for them to have the life that they want.
Yeah. Within reason.
But within like my personal expectation, like if as long as I'm there's shelter over my head, I've got clothes on my back, I can eat healthily, like I'm good to go.
Yeah, I got the same philosophy. For me, it's like I'd like to travel, but I want to do that now. I'm not going to like wait and just work. Mm-hmm. So that I can retire and then travel. It's weird because like I want to do it when I'm young.
Term. I definitely think that I should defer things for like future gains.
Yeah.
That's still like I plan. Not so I'm moving right now, so that's why I'm like, you know, we're making the budgets, we're running the numbers, we're trying to figure it all out. Like I definitely want to be traveling in my early 30s, late 20s, my mid 20s right now. So I'm like, you know, we're starting up the career.
Yeah.
But then I want to spend some significant time while you can still enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
You're not 60.
Well, your body can still travel.
70 like on a cruise, waiting to die by the pool. Ideal.
I've never liked the idea of a cruise.
Like I'm totally cool with like, you know, 5 years out is when the traveling is really gonna kick it up a notch.
Yeah.
Because I want to spend some like time in one place to set down some roots.
Yeah. Nice. Yep. Very good answer. Next question I got for you here. Okay, so this one, we've now reached the opinion section of the podcast.
Oh, man. Is it opinions from now on? Or are we
No. Okay. We can go back. Well, we have hypotheticals and stuff. But yeah, so I just got the opinion section. It seems short on here. It only takes up about 4 lines, but it's like rapid fire. I'll just say a word, and then you give your opinion. We do one of those ones. So, first one, politics.
Politics? I love politics.
You do?
I'm a total news junkie.
Yeah.
I like have a subscription to The Economist.
Nice.
I read the paper almost every day. The Toronto Library has a free subscription or online portal that you can read a lot of top tier newspapers on.
Yeah.
And that's like, I 100% believe in traditional media.
Yeah.
For getting a lot of my info from. I watch like a ton of news YouTube and like current events. Not the Young Turks, but more like educational than that. Although I do enjoy a talking head every now and then. And then also daily news podcasts I've gotten very into at work because it's easy to put it in the background and just have like The Daily or Oppo Canada. Canada Land.
Okay.
Is
nice.
One. Yeah.
Very good. Social media.
Something I'm not engaged with, but I acknowledge I need to be.
Okay,
Connect
with the kids.
Yeah.
Get that TikTok.
One is work, because working for a toy company, you want to be up on the trends. You want to know where the kids are at.
Yeah.
I work by the social media people as well. Like, they're a set of desks over. So, like, I hear about them.
Yeah.
About it from them, talking to them, like, what's the latest trend? How do we craft engaging content to get a million views? And then also, I went on a Tinder date.
Ooh.
And the person was like, you know, I was almost hesitant to go on the Tinder date. Because when I tried to Google you, you had like stale photos and stuff from a couple years ago. No. Like you look like a ghost person.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Like some murderer it's has your pictures.
Exactly. It's like, oh, I need to like have a footprint on social media to convince people that,
that you're alive.
Yeah. I'm alive and a reasonable person.
Oh my God.
So
yeah.
One, it's like, I guess trepidation.
Yeah.
It's like I don't very much enjoy engaging with it, but I feel like the world forces me to.
Yeah, just to have your standard in society.
Mm, like for work, professionally, I need to be basically conversant with it so that I just like know the terminology and what people are talking about. And then socially, I feel like, you know, you gotta have that Facebook or WhatsApp group with all your friends that you stay engaged on, that you stay in touch with people.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like so many people are like that. What is the percentage?
The network effect is so fierce.
Yeah, but it's like people have to do it to stay in modern times. But even it's like how many people don't care about it?
Like my mom is on a WhatsApp group with my brother and sister and I.
Yeah.
Just to stay in touch because like my sister's out west at this point. She's moved away. We just don't. I've moved out. So is my brother.
Yeah.
That's on a day-to-day basis. That's how you can interact with each other. Stay in touch.
Yeah, so it works. Technology. Another one here. Space travel.
Oh.
Is it a waste of money or is it worth the endeavor?
I'm kind of into it and I think long term it's a good idea. But I'm also like anti Elon Musk. I think there's a lot of hype on the Musk train that I'm not into.
Do you think he's just wasting money or do you think he's actually evil?
People get too hyped. I think he legitimately believes in these things.
Yeah.
But I'm skeptical of how much money people want to give to someone I consider just like a good storyteller.
Yeah.
I don't think that like space in the next 5 years is this brilliant investment. I think we should be putting money into it, but I don't think it's like a great business opportunity to like a decade out from now. Like we're not all going to become millionaires off space mining.
Well, that would be the business reason is unlimited resources by just mining whatever.
Like, do I think, like, all those private space companies, like, we should be investing billions of dollars in them right now. No, probably not. I don't think it's a great business. No, I think it's something we should be putting money into. But I'm skeptical of all the hype and how passionate people are about it.
Yeah, before it started.
Mm-hmm.
Got to find out if it's actually
we're still on the ground floor here. Yeah, we're coming up with some of the basic technologies to make it, like, a truly brilliant idea.
Yeah, so we should work more
on the engineering. Definitely, you know, R&D... Yeah. We should spend, like, some pretty significant change. It's going to help us in the long term. Yeah. But I don't think, like, right now it's going to start spinning gold.
Yeah, that's a good point. What's the next one here? Drug use. And the term drug is interpreted.
Oh, I believe people should be allowed to fuck up their lives.
Oh, great.
I think there definitely should be, like, concerns about, you know, we shouldn't have, like, 90% of the population on heroin. That wouldn't be great.
Unfortunate.
We should definitely educate people. But if there's an addict and they're like legitimately never going to get out of it, there should be like a safe, regulated method of them getting high.
Yeah,
and they shouldn't be punished for it. Yeah. They have a shitty enough life. If they're just like a functioning methadone dependent individual.
Yeah.
Like when the Green Party, for example, talked about how they want to, at the very least, decriminalize all drugs, it sounded like they're also leaning a bit towards legalizing it. Would have been okay. I'm very much into it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, take it out of the criminals' hands.
Yeah.
Let society shine a light on this, like, less than positive element.
Problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's no way it's not a mental health problem.
No, definitely, like, mental health. I think you could even, like, health in general. It's like the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
Yeah.
Should be on like a national and like, you know, in other countries too. Should be. I don't think it's a crime. It's not something that should be banned. We should just be cognizant of the risks. You know, put a speed limit on the highway, but still have highways.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Don't let the kids like wander around and pick up needles.
Vaping.
Exactly.
What have you. Yeah. Have an age limit and go from there.
Just be aware, be educational, and treat it like any other potentially dangerous thing we do in society. I don't think we should make base jumping illegal, even though it's one of the most dangerous sports can do.
Yeah, I would never base jump, man.
The rush must be crazy, though.
It's gotta be worth it. Yeah, that's like the joke that Louis C.K., now it's a bad reference to use, but Louis C.K. made a joke on SNL where it's like pedophiles, like, they're hated by everyone in society, so, but they still try. So, like, it must be amazing. And everyone's like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's true. It's like, for them, obviously, it's like, it's a predator's work, right? It's like, the best high for them is the kill or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah. What's the next one I got here? Tattoos. It's a simpler
thing to have. Oh, yeah. Now you just, you know, everyday life. I'm scared of the permanency of them. Yeah. I have no tattoos.
Don't have any.
And it would have to be something incredibly basic, like my mom's name.
Or just or like maybe a note like, or some small
thing. Yeah, maybe like a cross, because I'm religious. Like, it would... I couldn't do anything like... Earlier today, people were talking about flash tattoos.
Yeah, I would never... Yeah, that sounds literally insane to me.
I've heard about people will have like one of those old-time gumball dispensers. There'll just be little plastic containers with a folded-up tattoo design in it. And you pay like $15 and you get a randomly dispensed tattoo and you just get that one.
It's nuts. But I mean, teach their own, but I cannot comprehend why people actually want that. And I can comprehend everything else.
Like, just like the removal of it too is such a process, or getting it covered up. And like, what if I hate it? I'd be so afraid of the self-hate or just like not liking how it turns out. Because you can't just wash it off.
Yeah, who's the one guy? Ben Affleck? That's the classic case of buyer's remorse. He got a giant phoenix tattoo on his back, covers his whole back.
Benny.
And then people ask, because they paparazzi sneak pics, and they're like, hey, is this a tattoo? Is this for real? He's like, no, it's for a movie. And like, a year later, they get another picture of it. They're like, so it wasn't for a movie?
Yeah.
And he's like, no. It's like, dude, like, if you're going to lie about it and you're ashamed of it, like, you had so many hours.
Worst case scenario.
So many hours went into making that where you could have been like, I don't like
this
anymore.
And when I'm planning that sort of stuff, I definitely like to be a pessimist. I like to plan as a pessimist and then, you know, walk into it and be pleasantly surprised.
Of course, yeah. It's the best way to do it. That's like general planning for anything. Expect the worst. Hope for the best, but expect the worst, yeah. What's the next one I got here for you? Animal rights.
You know... I don't think we should be mean to cows. I don't think, we should try and minimize their pain to a certain extent, but I don't think they have, like, the same rights of humans, and I think we're allowed to eat meat still.
Yeah.
We shouldn't test makeup on them, but...
Yeah, that one doesn't make sense to me. You can put it on something synthetic. I don't know why it's got to be an animal.
But I, like, got why we did it. I think there's a kind of, like, for the greater good vibe that I'm okay more with animals. I think they do have, like, you know, you shouldn't just inflict needless suffering on them.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with a human saying, like, I'm worth more than you. I'm going to make the decision that, you know, you should be my food.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because a lot of people say the way that I look at it, because I still eat meat, but I have this philosophy that it's a spectrum. It's not just, like, we're great and they suck. It's, like, some animals are worth more than others and we should care more about them, right? Like, pigs are more intelligent than dogs. And yet we treat them
100%.
Just as bad as, like, chickens. Like, the amount of torturing,
like,
we do to them.
You
so
know
it's
the,
like...
the dog-eating festival? This is why I don't use my last name on the packet. Like, I'm okay with that in
the
end.
I haven't heard of that, but, yeah.
There's like, festival in China where it's, like,
so they're
based
open
on
it.
Eating
I didn't
dogs.
Know if it was
and,
open or
like,
not.
Westerners will come and, like, protest this festival because they think it's immoral.
Yeah.
And there's actually one woman who started a dog rescue there. That
over the
now,
to steal
like, she'll buy dogs from the, like, butchers or whatever to stop them
and then where
from
she
getting
put
killed.
Them, it's one of those
like,
things where
sanctuary
they...
thing. But now it's, like, it's not free rider, but it's, like, unintended consequences. So now people will approach her and try to actively sell her dogs. So she's actually created more demand for them to capture dogs for food.
Yeah. It's one of those things. There was, like, this one lady... who went to Swiss Chalet and, like, ordered a lobster with the intent, like, with the idea in her head that torturing lobsters is evil and this place is evil.
Yeah.
And she didn't order, like, 20 lobsters. She just ordered one. So that part already seems kind of weird.
Want it live.
And then she shipped it to the East Coast. This happened in Canada. I forget where she was from, like, Alberta or something.
She's dead? Can lobsters survive a...
I don't know. I forget how it ends. Like, I'm pretty sure it dies. Yeah, she ships it over. It costed so much money to do that. It polluted the atmosphere, in a general sense, that you're making a plane fly across the earth, polluting the atmosphere that would pollute the coastal regions where lobsters are from, potentially killing hundreds to save this one.
The
idea is just so bad.
The greater animal welfare is being reduced for this
one.
She's
like more
lobster.
Evil than good, but she thinks she's doing the right thing. It's one of those weird things that people get in their head. Yeah. Unintended consequences is the perfect word for it. Yeah. But anyway, What's the last one we got here? Oh, sorry, I got two more. Dreams. What's your opinion on
that? I'm not a huge dreamer.
You're not.
I just don't get a whole lot of dreams these days. I have lucid dreamed in the past.
Okay,
nice. But I don't hold a lot of significance for them. I'm not in, even though I am religious, I'm not into, like, my personal life being full of visions and, like, signs from the great beyond.
Yeah. Or it's like an alternate universe.
Yeah, I think it's more like a product of the things that have happened to me recently. You know, stress dreams happen because I'm stressed, and, you know, maybe that's a canary in the coal mine to watch my mental health.
Yeah,
or, you know, take a personal care day.
Yeah.
But I don't. Beyond them being an expression of, like, my subconscious mind, maybe I just have a weird fetish for clowns that I just don't know about.
There we go, sure, yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. Yeah. I'm not like, oh, maybe I should watch out for clowns in my future days.
It's like, or become friends with them.
Mm-hmm. No, it's just, you know, just like some weird subconscious thing.
Yeah,
we're processing things up there.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm not going to
get
a dream dictionary to figure out what the raven meant when it flew.
It's the same thing as astrology. It blows my mind that people believe that stuff. It's like, people are making it up on the spot, and they go,
a certain level
real.
Of confirmation bias. I think all those systems are built to be pretty, like, self-contained.
Yeah, it's same with the UFO society or the ghost society. It's like,
and just interpret it in an open-ended way. Like, you know, you probably will meet a stranger in the next week.
Yeah, the odds. And then most of the things are the odds for
you know, if I'm looking out for a two, now I'm primed for trying to find a romantic relationship because the raven flew across my vision and landed on a white pine tree
in
my dream.
Yeah, true. All right, the last one I got for you here is the current state of the world. What's your opinion? Are you a pessimist? I'm basically asking, are you a pessimist or an optimist?
Long term, I'm an optimist, you know?
Yeah.
Quality of life is going up.
Yeah.
What's it? Life length is not the technical term.
What's it
like
called?
The average years lived
lifespan.
Is going... Yeah, life expectancy.
Expectancy
is going up. A lot of diseases are becoming less common.
Becoming tackled.
We got rid of one of the strains of polio recently.
Yeah,
so now there's only one strain in the world causing
That's
us
great.
Like large issues, I think, in Afghanistan and Pakistan. The war is going down, crime across the world globally is going down. You know, the environment's kind of shitty, but it seems like there's some sort of global response happening to it. Maybe it'll be too long for us to it'll be too slow for us to stop, like, 1.5 degrees or even 2 degrees. But it seems like we're not going to go on, like, some 8-degree binge and totally boil
the
planet.
The whole Earth is
going to
be ice, or it's going to be a volcano,
We're going to, like, we're responding to things globally in enough time that, like, the collapse of human civilization, it's going to be rough, I think, unless we change things drastically.
I feel like we're, like, humanity will survive even if everything else dies. Like, we'll create bunkers and stuff. The elites will live.
We're going to go that far, is why I'm kind of optimistic. Like, we're not going to be forced to live in bunkers. Like, maybe Miami is going to be flooded, and the Florida Keys ain't going to be there for our vacation. We're going to have some crazy climate refugees.
But
you know, modern life as it is now is going to continue in roughly the same fashion, I think. On a personal level, in, like, the immediate, like, 4-year span, say, I'm a lot more negative. I'm pretty, like, I'm pro-free trade. I like immigration. I like progressive politics.
Because it's literally the future. There is no future in being nationalistic. I don't get why people think
I think
that.
Not. I think
it's like, be
like,
proud of your
Hungary
country, but don't, like,
is
close
doing
the borders.
Well enough off that system. People are happy. Poland, they've got quite a socially conservative government that has been able to deliver economic growth and keep immigration down at the same time. Long term, I think you're kind of boned. You know, your life, your replacement rate, the number of people who are being born is below the replacement rate. So they're going to have, like, a shrinking population that ages, which isn't a great situation to be in. People like to immigrate from those countries too, like Eastern Europe. So I think, you know, you can't have a self-consistent governing philosophy that's not going to completely ruin your country, but I don't agree with it, and that's not the kind of country I'd want to live in. I mean, I definitely see, I like internationalism, like NAFTA, the EU, I support it. Trans-Pacific Partnership, All those things seem to be on the outs, though. The UN, I'm a fan of.
Yeah, I mean, come on, collaboration. It took two world wars for UN, and like that should not be some.
And those things definitely seem to be maybe not in a long term downturn, but like right now, there's a lot of people.
There's a lot of friction, a lot of conflict.
A lot of people don't believe it. Democracy, I'd like to see continue to expand.
Yeah, Jesus,
but there's been a number of countries that in recent years have gone in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
The momentum doesn't seem to be on my side, so I am concerned about the next 5-10 years.
Future. Yeah.
I think long term, like technology is only going to get better. You know, I believe in reason. I think there's some rational public policy happening that will stop any true catastrophes from happening.
Yeah.
But we might be on a rocky path.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the 80s were the most dangerous time so far, and everyone like sort of forgets how.
We're definitely better than where we were 20, even 10 years ago, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's been an improvement, but I'm questioning if the momentum that we've had up until now is going to continue.
Yeah.
Maybe the momentum will continue and will be much more flat in our trajectory. I am concerned that we are on a plateau or even like a momentary downturn.
Well, being afraid of momentary downturns and plateaus, I'm running out of time with you. But so there's still like at least two questions I want to ask you.
Okay.
So the first one is, and well, maybe I'll stop asking this one eventually, but I'll ask you this one. If you had to erase one of the five major sports, which would you choose?
Oh.
Because you got baseball, basketball, baseball, hockey, football, soccer.
I get rid of baseball.
You get rid of baseball?
There's too many rules. I'm not a sports person at all. Oh, you could eliminate any of the sports and I wouldn't notice. Beyond, like, if football was gone, a significant portion of humanity would be real bummed.
Yeah.
Or, you know, hockey disappears in Canada. That'd be a cultural shock moment for us all. But in terms of, like, I'm never going to play baseball. Yeah. It's hard for me to understand it when it's on a TV and people around me are talking about baseball.
Yeah, true.
Also, like, one of my exes, her mom made fun of me because I didn't know what an RBI was. I'm like, I still hold runs batted in, I think it is. It's like their closest equivalent to, like,
system.
The more RBIs you have as a player, the better you are.
Oh,
on a base level. Obviously, the baseball has so many, like, money ball stats at this point.
Yeah,
that you can have a very nuanced perspective. But, like, if you have a real high RBI, you're probably a good player.
Yeah, true. Well, hey, now you and I and the audience knows that. So.
Yeah,
this has been a learning moment. Even if you hate baseball and you want to erase it.
I respect the level of, like, stats you can do with it. On a professional perspective, but personally, I'm like, no, let's just not talk about this ever again.
Yeah, okay,
it's
true.
Not that interesting to watch in my head, like football and soccer and I said soccer instead of American football.
Well, yeah, you
European
got American football.
Football,
European football, hockey,
hockey,
basketball.
All those are more fast-paced and engaging.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because even just the amount of pausing can, like, be exhausting.
People say that for football, but I'm okay with, like, the pause or, like,
it's still short.
It's like, you know,
you
we're
throwing
a commercial break
there,
and it's
$1 million.
I'm okay with the jolts.
Expensive commercials.
Baseball just always seems like pretty
super
lackadaisical to me.
Yeah.
Baseball.
And it's also narrow. I mean, I guess that's the same with football. Super just North American.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Japan too, and parts of the Caribbean. But, like, the MLB doesn't go there.
Oh, true.
World Baseball Championship, is that even in the Olympics? I know they're bringing skateboard to the Olympics. Skateboarding to the Olympics.
Well, it takes a real physical skill to do that. So, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, nice. Okay, ready for the final question?
Hit me up.
If you were given the choice between passing on or reliving your life all over again, like at your moment of death, which would you choose? Would you relive your life? Or go on to the next.
I come from a Christian background, so like, you know,
it's at the pearly gates though. So not even just to break that idea. It's like if you're at the pearly gates, and he's like, you can either come past.
I also think I have like a duty to pass on a certain point.
Okay,
you gotta face that judgment.
If you choose the relive,
even,
they'll judge you.
Even if you know you're being called out for the bad things you do, at a certain point you should be called out.
Yeah.
I would have no problem reliving my life though. I stand by the choices I make. I think they made me who I am.
Yeah. And just in general, the moments.
Yeah.
None were so bad that you never want to realize.
Because
everyone has bad moments in their life.
I really hate the question of, would you make any changes? Because, like, yeah, to a certain extent.
Everyone would. There's no way.
But I also think, like, those bad decisions made me who I am. And if I start just, like, picking and choosing, then I'm starting to fundamentally change. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, if I avoided every heartbreak, where am I going to be now?
You're going to be covered in tattoos, fucking shooting heroin.
Am I going to be able to do I get to remember my past life? Or am I just, like, reliving it? Blank slate.
For the sake of this question, I didn't get into the specifics, but you live everything the exact same. It's a spectator sport now.
While I'm spectating, do you
remember?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Because then it's one is like, if I did have such negative experiences, I'd be like, I'm not into it.
No thanks.
Yeah.
I move on. Yeah. Let's say you don't remember. You just do a redo. That opens up a philosophical nightmare of what if that's happening right now. And you wouldn't remember what choice you made.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just endlessly living.
Karma scares me. Yeah. It's like a real oof. There are some people who are going to go through some dark things if karma's real.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, most likely it doesn't, and that's why people are assholes. Yeah, they just get out of it.
You know, maybe you're just going to be a centipede in the next life.
Yeah.
Get real ready to be in some sort of hell for 1,000 years.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Well, hey, thanks for coming on.
It was great being here.
Elliot's dash mystery.
Yeah.
Keep the rest out. Yeah. And Mr. hopefully I can have you on.
You can call
obviously.
Me.
So if there were any passing words, because you were part of the group podcast that we listened to last week for the audiences, I don't know if you threw one in there, but is there passing words of wisdom you would want to give now?
Share, like, and subscribe.
Great!
Know?
Hey, there you go! Yeah!
Smash that like button. I've always wanted to say that on some media, so those would be my words of wisdom for the crowd.
Smash
shameless
like
self-promotion.
Beautiful.
Are the two words of the day.
Great! And it's not even it's promoting me! Yeah. It's amazing! You're so selfless. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for coming
thank
on.
Thank you for having me. There's
and,
a handshake there.
Yeah. And
for the audience at home.
That's great. And obviously have a great rest of your day, have a good dinner, all that jazz.
Anytime.
Great. All right, bye everyone.